Well, tonight, there's a verse that I really, for me, I really want to appreciate how real and living this verse is. That it's from God's word. God says it. I believe it. But this verse is so fantastic. Sometimes we want to rise up to what God's word says, and this is a verse I want to really rise up to. And I want you all to be able to rise up and live it as well. So I'm not going to tell you the verse yet. All right? But we're going to look at some other verses, some background, so that we can build toward this verse and we can see perhaps the greatness of it even bigger than in it as it stands alone, okay? So we're going to go to Exodus. Exodus 34. Genesis, Exodus, chapter 34. And a familiar character here in verse 27. And we're going to see the Lord and Moses having a chat. And I tell you, Moses was very privileged. I mean, he was very meek. He had a great relationship with God for many, many, many years. And they were on a good talking basis. And so let's see what happens here in chapter 34, verse 27. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he, this Moses, was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So where was Moses at this time, you think? He's up in the mountains, yeah. He's up in the mountains talking to God. God is laying out these commandments that the children of Israel would be confronted with, it would share with them, so that they could live by the law. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets, tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. He didn't know, he didn't realize he was glowing bright, okay? He was shining very, very brightly. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. And he was so bright, they just, oh my golly, what happened to Moses? What happened up there? And so he was just shining so brightly. And Moses, verse 31, called unto them, and Aaron, and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. So he's laying out these commandments to everybody. And till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. He was so bright, so beaming, that he had to put a veil over his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him, the Lord. So the glory of the greatness of what God did to give them commandments so they had a standard of truth to live by was huge. This started the law, right? This started the law with the commandments here. And the glory of this shone brightly in his face to the extent he put a veil on his face. Now, it wasn't a COVID thing, right? I'm not talking about that. But this veil over his face. So let's go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And it's interesting, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we see that this record here, or this situation where Moses used a veil, is mentioned here in Corinthians. All right? So here we are, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. But if the administration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, okay, this is talking about the commandments. If it was glorious so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. All right, so here, back there, what we read in the Old Testament, these commandments started, and the children of Israel had it for a long time. But now, Jesus Christ obviously has come on the scene. He paid the ultimate price with his life. He died on the cross. God raised him from the dead on the day of Pentecost. We have the new birth spirit. People can be born again of God's spirit. And so now in these church epistles, we're learning what is that all about. Much, much better than the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments was glorious, it says, right? It was glorious. But it's going to be what? Done away. How shall not, verse 8, the administration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Okay, this new administration with the Spirit, that's going to be much better. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. We have the righteousness of Christ as a result of the new birth, and this is what it's talking about. Man, if it was glorious back then, the glory now is even more so. Verse 10, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. A lot of glorious going on here, huh? Seeing then that we have such hope, we use plainness of speech. Good idea. We don't get fancy talking, just nice, simple speech. Verse 13, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. The commandments are abolished. No more need for the commandments, Ten Commandments. But their minds were blinded, or I think some of your translations might have hardened. I don't know what some of you guys got with the different translations. Blinded. Okay, that's King James too. But their minds were hardened, they were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. In other words, they would read the Old Testament stuff, and the Jews would buy into that. But yet it's done away in Christ. Verse 15, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is where?
Hearts.
On their hearts. It's on their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. All right? That veil's taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
liberty.
There's freedom. Yeah. We're not under condemnation. But we all, and this is the verse 18, this is the verse we're focusing on tonight. But we all with open face, beholding in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We're looking in the mirror, and what do we see?
Glory of the
Lord. We see the glory of the Lord. Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. Wow. So, when you look in the mirror, what do you see?
The glory of the Lord.
You see the glory of the Lord. Now, I know it's tempting to see some other things going on, right? Unfortunate, some of us. But we see through the flesh, don't we?
Yeah.
We see the Christ within, and that's the glory of the Lord. Now, do we put a veil on that? Do we want to cover that? No. You see, that's why I really want to see this bigger in my life.
Me too.
That I am the glory of the Lord because of the Christ in me, not because of what I did, but what God did through Christ for me. So now, I have changed. My image has changed. I've got a spiritual life now that is a glory that shines very bright. Pretty neat, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a challenge. Now, remember, we read back in the old about these Old Testament folks. Their minds were blinded, right? They were hardened. They couldn't see it. Boy, they read the Old Testament stuff, and the veil comes right on their eyes. They just couldn't look at it. But we have an open face, no veil. We have the liberty because of the Spirit we have in us. So we see the Christ in us, and that's what we got to really grab onto each and every day. Every morning we look in the mirror. Yeah, we might have to shave a little bit, some of us. But it's the glory of the Lord we see. Pretty neat, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's follow up with this. What are we going to do with this lifestyle of being the glory of the Lord and having Christ within and having this liberty, this freedom, in light of the Spirit of God that's in us? So go to Galatians, if you would. Galatians chapter 5. This is what we do. Verse 1, chapter 5, stand fast, therefore, in what?
Liberty.
The liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That yoke of bondage is the law, that old stuff. Yeah, we're made free from that. We have been set free from that. So we stand fast in that freedom, that liberty, where we have been made free. We've got that Christ in us. We're not under any yoke of bondage or anything. Great exhortation. And then, verse 13, to close it out, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Okay, we all as born again ones have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but what? By love serve one another. Yeah, we live the love of God, the love of Christ. and we serve one another. What a privilege it is to bless each other because we recognize who we are. You look in the mirror, you see Christ in you, but when you look at your brother and sister, who do you see? Christ. You see Christ. Man, if Christians would only see what God's Word wants us to look at, the Christ in us,
absolutely,
we don't get judged. That's why we don't judge anybody. That's why we don't get into that trip. We just love each other. We serve each other. We see the Christ in each other. So, yes, I'm praying that more and more I can see how big it is to know that I'm the glory of the Lord. I'm shining bright because of the Christ that is in me. Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Okay. Well, Father, thank you for the great reality of your word, that we can just realize in the depth of our heart who we really are because of what you did through Christ for us. And that we can take a stand fast in that freedom, that liberty, and that we can love one another. We can really live the love of God, that love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So thank you for your word that we can know these great truths. Thank you for the privilege to be your children, that we can fellowship with you, and that we truly can love one another. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, you say amen real quick because you don't want to take it back or anything.
Amen.
That's it, right? That's what amen means, isn't it?
So be it.
So be it. That's it.